Joshua chapter 7, and again, I will give a short presentation about the camp, and then we'll just jump right into Joshua chapter 7. If I can get that, let me read it before I get the next slide. What's new at Camp Northfield, you may ask? Well, we have this slideshow to present it. Can you give me the next slide, please? We have a new staff member. Now, I took my picture down from this because I actually had a new staff member that had a picture myself, but I thought it'd be funny, but no one laughed. So there's just a new staff member at Camp Northfield, and that's myself. I came in January, and some of you, I've already mentioned it quite a bit, and Pastor mentioned it. So just that's the biggest change at Camp Northfield so far. If I can get the next slide. There's three things, though, that we're trying to emphasize before this summer begins, and we're going to try to start having a maybe more intentional focus, if I can put it that way, and I'll break these up in the slides to come. But first, we want to upgrade something, add something, and restore something. And if I can get the next slide. The first, which is the upgrade, will be the bivouac beans. It's supposed to be like a coffee color, in case you're wondering why it's kind of dark, it's harder to see. But coffee color. So our project one is to upgrade our coffee shop at Camp Northfield, the bivouac beans. So this last weekend we had a pancake breakfast and some of that, we had a table specifically for donations for that. And three of the six items that we're looking to try to purchase for upgrading our coffee shop there at Camp Northfield were able to be raised and purchased for. And we partnered with a local coffee roaster, I think I'm going to say it right, Echelon coffee roasters, which they just roast locally and have some higher quality coffee beans that we're trying to really kind of up our coffee game for the summer season and bring in special beans, because coffee, it's important stuff. Okay, can I get the next slide? So bivouac beans and then hand-roasted Echelon. That's the particular roaster. Go ahead, give me the next slide. So the second thing is we're trying to add a program or a game to activity. We're trying to add a nine holes to a Frisbee golf course on the side of the camp where the lodges are. And then, Lord willing, in years to come, our intention is the property we own across the road, we'd like to develop it some more and add another nine holes so we have a full 18 holes of Frisbee golf. So are there anyone who plays like regular golf? Pastor, good pastor, okay, plays golf. Anyone play Frisbee golf? Okay, so y'all need to come, not y'all, that's like North Carolina talk. You guys need to come over to Camp Northfield when this project gets done, and tell you what, it'll be free. It would have already been free, but it'll be free for you guys, okay? Anyway, so we're trying to add this project, Frisbee golf. But each of those things is kind of expensive, so that's why it's become a bigger project than we anticipated. So we want to add nine, and that would be our project before this summer begins. And then the last project, if I get the next slide, is to restore one of the main buildings that we already have called the Hilliker Lodge, which is my apartment, so I really partial towards this building. we are trying to wash the outside and then as well put some new stain on there. And I think we have like an estimate of there for we need, 45 gallons, and each gallon's about $40. So it's the bigger of the three projects that we're trying to raise for. But anyway, so these are some three things that we're trying to upgrade, add, and restore at Camp Northfield. And Lord willing, next summer or next year, you'll see three different things. So our plan is to present these three things to the churches and let them know this is what we're trying to work on. And Lord willing and by God's grace, we'll have these finished. And then next year, we'll work towards three other things. Can I go ahead and get the next slide? Another thing that camp is, I don't want to say change because that might convey the wrong idea of what I'm trying to say, but maybe refocus on trying to present our core values in a more concise way. And we've tried to express these core values with these next three specific things that we're saying are our core values. Can we get the next slide? And that's first, exploring Scripture. Did you know, and I'm certain you do from being at this church, that God has spoken through the Bible. God has communicated his will through his word. We don't have to wonder, does God think this is okay? Does God not think? No, we know, because his word is really clear on it. So, our Christian camp is really focused around, hey, let's have people come in who know how to preach the Bible, and then let's lift up those times of preaching. And let's not just think it's like a game or an activity, but it's important, because it's not just like we're going to go and have a fun time, which we will, but we want to major on what's important, and I'm convinced that the preaching of God's word is the most important thing. So our first slide is, or the first of the core value, is exploring Scripture. Can I get the second one? The next is experiencing the outdoors. The Scripture says that the heavens declare his glory, that the glory of the creation point to the glory of the Creator. And we certainly are in a beautiful place over there in Western Massachusetts. And it's really an awesome opportunity to be able to see all the different things that God has made and point back to that there is just how we see creation. There is a creator that has made the creation, and his name is God, and we find his all about him in Scripture. So it kind of points back again to the first one. Okay, at the next slide. And that's this exhorting the church. You know, Camp Northfield, we don't call ourselves a parachurch organization. We call ourselves a ministry of the local church. And Christ did not come to establish the local camp, but he did come to establish the local church. And our focus at Camp Northfield is to be a ministry to other churches of like faith and practice. And we want to follow that out by being a tool in churches' hands. So there's different churches that will rent out our facilities for just weekends or different things, maybe programs that we don't even put on. But if we're not using the facility for a set program, then we want to make it available for those churches to use us as a tool, because we want to come alongside and help the church and be a tool of the church. Can I go ahead and get the next slide? One of the events I just want to mention before we wrap this up, see, it's going to be real quick, and then we'll just get right into the preaching, is a family camp that's coming up. Pastor Chris DiGiacomo is over in that town called Haverhill, spelled like Haverhill, Haverhill, Mass. And he's a pastor friend, and I've known him for about 3 or 4 years. And he's just a faithful man. He'll be preaching for our family camp coming up this summer for June 23rd through the 28th. And we'll be having some split sessions with just some guys. And then his wife will be taking the ladies out for a workshop as well. And then we'll have some times where the teens or maybe just the pre-adults, if we can put it that way, will be set aside and have different messages. And then just the adults, just the husband and wives. And we'll just try to have different workshops and split everyone up and then bring us all together for an evening service. Monday to Friday, and anyway, so we're looking forward to that with Pastor Chris DiGiacomo. That's how you say his name. It took me a little while. Just you guys probably caught on way quicker than I. But can I get the next slide? So that was really quick, right? Quick update of what's going on at Camp Northfield. Let's jump into Joshua chapter 7. If you have any more questions about Camp Northfield, I'd love to answer them. And your pastor is very close with camp. He is on the board, so I'm sure he would know more than I about the camp. But if you have any other questions, certainly I'm available to answer to the best of my ability. Some people ask me, what's a week of summer like, summer camp like? And I tell them, I'm sure it's great. I've just never been there yet, you know, for summer camp. So I'm sure this summer camp will be 10 out of 10, absolutely fantastic. But next year when I come, I'll be able to say, the camp we had this last summer, wow, okay? But we're excited for some of the different things that we're trying to upgrade, add, and restore at Camp Northfield. And we're looking forward to what the Lord's going to do at Camp Northfield and how the Lord's going to use it and the opportunity we get to minister alongside of other churches. Joshua chapter 7. I was talking. I didn't get a chance to turn there, but I am there now. All right, Joshua chapter 7. I'll let you remain seated because or it might actually be advantageous of us to stand, but we'll remain seated, and we'll read verse 1, and then we'll pray and begin looking at this topic. Joshua chapter 7, verse 1. The scripture says, "But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing, for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zebdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel." Let's pray. Father, I need you this afternoon. I need you to speak through your word. I need you to enable me as I preach. Father, I would be a fool to think that I could stand up here and say and speak some stuff that I've studied and not have your spirit work, Father, and think that it was successful. We need your spirit, Father. We need your spirit to work in everyone's hearts and all of our lives. We need your spirit to speak through your word and to convict us and to challenge us and to change us, Father, for your glory. We need you. We desperately stand in need of you to work this afternoon. I pray that you'd remove distractions, you'd remove different things from our hearts and minds that would otherwise get our focus off of you and your word. Father, help us to change according to your will by your grace and with your power. We love you and we need you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The passage that we looked at, I think this discusses, and we'll go on to discuss, a very significant topic for any believer, and really any person, really everyone, but specifically we're going to look at the context of this topic in the lives of believers, and it's this topic of sin. You know, all of us struggle with this thing called sin. You know, someone asked me, what was the opposite of struggling? And I said, well, giving into it. So they said, yeah, you know, struggling with sin is the right move. You ought not give into sin. But it's this constant struggle in life where you constantly struggle with sin. But there's some things that I think are lies that we believe when we make the choice to sin that I think are just that, lies. And those are the things that we're going to discuss, and we're going to make up the points of our message this afternoon, the lies of sin. And we're going to go through this account of this gentleman named Achan, and we know just kind of an idea of what just happened in verse 1. I'm sure some of you are familiar with the story, but we're going to kind of rehearse it a little bit, and then we're going to look at these lies that I think Achan believed about sin. I think, not just Achan, but I think you and I are often very tempted to believe these particular lies about sin, and those are going to be the points for this afternoon. Look with me again at verse 1. It says, but the children of Israel committed a trespass. Okay, a trespass was committed by the children of Israel in the accursed thing for Achan, okay, particularly it's Achan now, the son of Carmi, the son of Zebdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took. So the trespass that the crime, the sin that was committed was he took of the accursed thing. And as a result of him taking, it says the anger of the Lord was kindled against Achan. No, the children of Israel. His sin affected not just himself. But jump with me now to verse 20, and I'll tell you what, in a maybe brief way, what happened in between verse 1 and verse 20. The children of Israel, after it was said that the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, they went out to battle at Ai. Now, to give you just an understanding of what was going on, was God promised them the victory. God promised them, hey, this whole area, the victory's already yours. I was talking with David about the Christian school sports and joking how sometimes the athleticism in Christian school sports is maybe not where it could be. I grew up going to Christian school all the way through, so I love Christian school, and I'm thankful that the Lord gave me the opportunity to go there. But if we started a basketball season or a soccer season, and we had a promise from the Lord that every game we played, we were going to win. Well, that'd be an awesome soccer season. You know, we just walk out. We know. We won. Like, the Lord already said we won. We just know. That'd be an awesome season. Now, if you were a part of Christian school any length of time, you know that's often not the case. At least it was with my Christian school. We did not win that much. But when we did, it was sweet. But in this account, or in this story that we find ourselves in, God gave them the victory. God said, hey, everywhere you go, you're going to have the victory. Everywhere you go, no one's going to be able to defeat you. Because I promise that the victory is yours. That's a pretty great promise. That'd be pretty great if I went into battle and something like that was already known by the Lord. Well, that was what was told, but when they came to Ai, they lost. So there'd be some confusion. Why'd we lose? What happened? Well, verse 1 tells us that the anger of the Lord was kindled against them because they had disobeyed the Lord. And it specifically points out this man named Achan was the one that had trespassed. And now the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel, the nation of Israel. And now in verse 20, we kind of jump ahead. So what's all transpiring? And as we read, we'll see what's happening. Verse 20, it says, and Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord, and Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. So what happened? All Israel was gathered together, and the one that had sinned, the one that had trespassed, would be revealed by the Lord. And as it came down, where it was revealed that Achan was the one that committed this trespass, committed this crime, Achan and Joshua had this conversation that we find ourselves in verse 20. And Achan's going to go and kind of rehearse with us, rehearse what exactly took place in this process of him taking of the accursed thing. He's going to rehearse with us maybe his thoughts and some of the things. And I think in this passage, we're going to be, or it'll be revealed to us, some of these lies that sin will often try to get us to buy. Again, look at verse 20. Achan says, and indeed I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. Verse 21, when I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So we're going to look at four different lies this afternoon, but the first one that I think Achan believed, and I think you and I are tempted to believe, and it'd do us well to realize it's a lie and not believe it right off the bat, is this first lie, and it's that I need it. The first lie that I think sin will try to get you to believe and will try to get me to believe is this first lie of sin. It's that I need it. And I think Achan, when he went through, now, if you know the battle, what's going on? He's in Jericho. God literally brought down the walls at Jericho. Literally, not in like the figurative way, but literally God brought down the walls in Jericho in a miraculous way. Already, the supernatural presence of God was given in this battle. And they walked through over the destroyed wall that God had brought down. Okay, it was very evident. Not only was it just like God said we're going to win, and we can trust what God said, but as we marched around this place, as we went to this place for battle, that the walls literally fell down, and then we marched in, and God was going to give us the victory. But then what happens in this, as we find in verse 20 and 21, that Achan is kind of rehearsing what went on. He says, as I was going about, I saw these different particular things. I saw Babylonian garments. I saw some gold and some silver, and after I saw them, I coveted them. I think the first lie that Achan believed was, I need those things in my life for me to be satisfied the way that I ought to be satisfied, or to have my needs really met the way that they should be met. Those things, I need them. And I think this is the first lie that you and I, if we're not careful, will be sold on about sin, that we need it. And it's a lie of discontentment. It's a lie that says what you have going on in your life and what God has permitted in your life right now isn't good enough. Now, was God going to provide for Achan's needs? Sure. Did Achan have to steal to get what he thought he needed? No, he didn't. But he chose to sin because I think he thought this first thing, that I need it. Now, I don't maybe know the specific thought processes going on in his mind, but I think maybe when he saw the Babylonian garment, he thought something along the lines of, you know, maybe I would look better, my image would be better, I would maybe have that nice status that I want if I had some nice Babylonian threads, if I had some nice Babylonian clothes that I could walk around in. And I don't know whether they reminded him of something else or whatever it was be, but he certainly saw it, he liked it, and he thought he'd look good in it, or he thought he could use them. And even though God's will was, hey, don't take that, don't steal that, it's okay, I need it. So he took it. And I pretty think it's pretty obvious when we see this gold and the silver that maybe he thought, well, I could use some more money. I don't know about any of you guys to be like, you're passing out 10 grand? Oh, I'm good on that. You can keep that. Preacher, just take that home. You're good. I don't really need any more money or gold, silver. You're good. Maybe give it to someone else. Maybe some of you are, the Lord has blessed you in such a case where, you know, you have no need at all. But I don't think any of us would say if we saw some free gold and silver, I'd pass that up. Well, I think what happened was Achan, when he was going through this place, he saw some gold and silver and thought to himself, man, I could really use some of that. You know, maybe he has it. Well, we know later on that he does have a family. Maybe Achan Jr. wants to go to Israelite University. I don't know. Okay, but maybe he has different things going on in his mind. And he's saying, you know, I have some bills to pay, and this gold, this silver, it'd be really helpful right now. And I know what God has said. I know what God's will is. I know what the truth is. But I need it. And because I think I need it, and I believe that first lie, I think then he took it as a result of that first lie that I need it. But this first lie that sin will often try to get us to buy on, get us try to take it hook, line, and sinker, is a lie that what we have and what God has allowed in my life is just not good enough. Maybe God's not really good. Maybe God really, I mean, if God was really good, would he allow these things in my life? Maybe those are some of the lines that we tell ourselves as we're trying to either talk ourselves in or out of this first lie that I need it. And I don't know all the different thoughts going through Achan's mind, but I think when he saw those different items, he thought, I could really use those. Forget about what God says is right and wrong. I need this. Proverbs 27:20, the scripture says, the eyes of man are never satisfied. Now, coming out to, I'm now educated that this is, New York is not New England. I am educated now. It is separate, is different. But this part of America is different in some ways than Illinois, okay? This portion of America, these many states, definitely different than Illinois. In Illinois, what was cool, this was cool growing up in Illinois. If you were in high school and you had a loud truck, okay? And I grew up in like cornfield country, so when I say Illinois, don't think Chicago. Okay, that's like the little corner that we maybe go to for Christmas to see a big Christmas tree, but that's it. Okay. When I say Illinois, I think cornfield. What was really cool in Illinois, if you were in high school, if you had a loud truck, now it didn't have to be a good quality truck, it just had to be loud. And sometimes people would, you know, do all different things to make their perfectly good truck loud. Okay, and then also in where I came from in Illinois, what was to be cool was if you had a lot of guns. So if you had a lot of guns and a loud truck, you were pretty cool. Okay, I mean, and definitely different than out here in Massachusetts in these areas. You have to be careful saying some of those things, okay? But in Illinois, it was a cool thing. My dad, he's a Marine. He was in the Marines for 6 years, and I did not have to talk my dad into justifying spending my money on guns. I'd be like, Dad, I'd really like this gun. And he'd be like, all right, well, where can we get it at? And I already know. I'd be like, well, Mean Metal's armory down the road. He said he could order it. And it's like, okay, well, my dad would go and he'd buy the gun. And then it would technically be my dad's gun because I wasn't old enough to own one. And I would just use my dad's gun and I'd pay for it. And I'd have to talk my dad in at all to buy a gun. But what would happen is I would see a gun and I'd be like, oh, I really, Dad, I'm an American. I need a 12-gauge shotgun. I need that, Dad. You know, so he'd be like, oh, yeah, you're right, son, you need that. And then, so I would work at my family's business, and I'd save up, and I'd get money for this, and then my dad would buy the gun. And then I'd have it for a couple weeks, and you know what happened? I'd be like, yeah, that was a cool gun, but I could really use this other one. And then I'd talk to my dad, and he'd be like, well, yeah, you know, you could really use that. That would be, you know, if you're going hunting or whatever, oh, that's good. So I'd be like, okay, so I save up the money, and I'd buy that one. And you know what happened after I had that one for a little while? I'd be like, this is cool. But I could really use, and the list would go on. You see, the scripture is true when it says the eyes of man are never satisfied, and I think so often we buy into this lie that I need the next thing. The next thing will make me happy. Hey, the next thing will satisfy me, just a little bit more, or something else, or the new thing, or that thing, and it's different for everyone. Maybe you're like, Colton, I never wanted to drive a truck or shoot a gun. That's fine, but it's different for all of us. All of us have different things that we think, if I just have that, then my life will be as good as I think it ought to be. And it's a lie of discontentment. It's a lie of unsatisfaction from the will of the Lord. God's will for your life is the best possible outcome of your life ever. And it's when we try to add different things that are not his will that we get into trouble. And I think Achan thought, man, my life would maybe a little bit better if I had a little more gold, a little more silver. Maybe my life would be a little bit better if I had these clothes that would make me look real good or whatever the purpose was. But maybe if I just have these things, then I'll be satisfied. I'll be happy. I think he believed that first lie that I need it. And because he believed that first lie that he needed it, he was willing to sin to get it. If you're not careful, that first lie of sin will be really persuasive in your heart. And you'll think, man, I won't have what I want. I won't have what I need if I don't get it. And regardless, whatever God says, forget whatever God's will is, I need it. Be careful that first lie of sin that says, I need it. So lie number one is, I need it. Lie number two is this. Look with me at verse 21. Says, Achan saying, when I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are, what's the next word? And behold, they are hid. Okay, see, let's try that again. Okay. And behold, they are, there we go, perfect. I should have given you a heads up. There they are, hid in the earth in the midst of my tent and the silver under. So the first lie is, I need it. Well, I think Achan was thinking, I need this thing in my second lie, and I have a little hand motion with you. Ready? Okay. Oh, I almost fell off right there. Okay, so that wasn't a part of the message. But anyway, the first lie is, I need it. The second lie is, I'll hide it. So the first lie is, I need it. The second lie is, I'll hide it. I think this is what sin will try to get us to believe, that thing that maybe you think you need that you can put in your life, that thing that you really don't need and it's sin, but you think you need it right now. You know what else? The lie that you'll believe, that not only do you need it, but you can hide it. Hey, you can be the master of disguise and cover up whatever's going on in your life, whether people know. If people don't know, maybe God doesn't even know, because hey, you can hide it. That's the lie I think Achan believed. Why? Because he says, I took it back, and I didn't take this Babylonish garment and hang it up in my closet and take this gold and set it up as nice bricks around my house so everyone could see my new money and my new threads or anything like that. No, he said, I took these different things. Behold, I went back to my tent, and I went on and I hid it. And I could hide it. And no one would see. No one would know what was going on. No one would know about my sin. No one would know about what was going on in my life. No one knew what I brought into my life. I hid it. If you're not careful, sin will get you to believe, hey, that thing that's in your life that is a flat-out sin, you can hide it. Sin will make you think you're really good at hiding it. You are good at covering your tracks. No one knows. But it's just that. It's a lie. Let me read you a couple scriptures to try to persuade you of this point. Proverbs 15:3 says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Hebrews 4:13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest, made known, is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Jeremiah 23:24, can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? But the scripture goes on. Revelation 3:15, when Jesus is speaking to a church, he says this, I know thy works. Jeremiah 16:17, for mine eyes are upon all their ways. They are not hid from my face, neither is their iniquity hid from mine eyes. Like a giant red flashing light from Scripture, God again and again says, I see you. I know what's going on in your heart. I know what's going on in your life. I know what's going on in your tent, Achan. I know what's going on underneath the rug, hid in your tent. I know you because I see you. And I think if we're not careful, we'll think of, in regards to sin in our life, that I can hide it. Maybe so-and-so couldn't hide it, but I can hide it. Hey, that one person, they couldn't hide it, but I really can. I'm the exception. It's just that it's a lie. Not only do we often believe that I need it, but we often believe that I can hide it. And too often we are thoroughly persuaded of this truth, that I am the exception, that I can truly hide it, even though no one else could. But it's a lie. And it'll do you well, and it'll do me well to realize it's just that, a flat-out lie. I don't need the sin that I think I need in my life, and I can't hide the sin that I think I can hide in my life. So lie number one is, I need it. Lie number two is, I'll hide it. Lie number three, look at verse 24 to 26. So we're in Joshua chapter 7, verse 24 and 26, or to 26. It says, and Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedges, or the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had. And they brought them unto the Valley of Achor. Now remember, that place called the Valley of Achor. We're going to come back to it in the next point. And they brought them unto the Valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire. After they had stoned them with stones, they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger, wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. Now I want you to understand what happened. Corporal punishment. Achan and his family was executed. Or they were executed by the governmental system at the time. That was the end result. That's what took place. That was the punishment, that his life was ended, as well as his family's life and all that he had. Everything in great detail is being described, being taken out. You say, what lie do you think Achan believed when we come to this portion? Well, I think he believed this third lie, and it's this. It's worth it. It's worth it. The first lie is, I need it. The second lie is, I'll hide it. The third lie, I think we often don't think much about, but it's this one. It's worth it. Hey, whatever the consequences are for that sin in your life, whatever the price tag is going to be, it's worth it. The satisfaction, the joy you'll get temporarily from that, hey, whatever the outcome, it's worth it. It's completely worth it. I think that was a lie that persuaded Achan. I really need this gold. I really need this silver. I really need these Babylonish garments. I know what God said, that everything in the place was to be given. I know what God's will is. I know it's right. I know it's wrong. But I also know what I really want, and I know what I need. And not only do I know what I need, I can hide it. You better be careful, the things that you think you can hide and the things that you think you need. Because sin has a price tag, and often it's far more than we ever thought it would cost. And too often when we allow sin in our life, we think that it's okay, it's just a little bit. Hey, it's not that serious. It's not that big of a deal. What would the price tag be? Because every sin has a price. Sin has a price tag, and in this case, Achan brought sin into his home. Imagine what took place, that actually had to go through Achan's thought process. After he took the gold and the silver and the clothes, he went back to his home, and he hid them in the earth underneath his tent. Certainly, he knew his family would see what was going on, and he allowed these different things into his life, into his home. And God didn't just bring judgment upon Achan, but upon Achan's family. Can I say kindly and respectfully as I can, sir, you better be careful what you allow in your home. You need to be careful what you allow around you, and think it's just okay. I won't be a part of the judgment that God brings upon it. I think maybe Achan said, hey, it's just It's just me getting this gold and silver and these garments. It's okay. It's not, the price tag's not going to be that much. It's just fine. But when the day came to pay, it cost him quite a bit. I think too often we think sin's just a tiny little thing that, hey, when it gets revealed, I'll just confess it to Jesus and it'll be all good. I won't have to pay any price for it. It'll be, hey, there's no repercussion for my decision. Hey, it's fine. I think too often we believe that it's just not that big of a deal. But friend, it's a huge deal. It's a huge deal to God whether we allow sin in our life, whether we're concerned about this thing of holy living, of righteous living. You could ask David in the Bible, after he lusted after Bathsheba, was it worth it? After he paid the consequences of the lives of his family, I don't think so. After people had to die because of his decision, I don't think so. Hey, we could back up farther. You could ask Adam, the choice of his sin, was it worth it? I don't think so. You could ask Samson when he knew what the Lord's will was. He knew his Nazarite vow, but he also saw the honey and the different things that he wanted. He said, I'll take it. He saw a woman that I'll take her. I know what God's will is, but I really need it. And on top of that, I can hide it. Hey, it's worth it. No, they're all lies. If you're not careful, you'll believe them. Numbers 32:23, very familiar passage. Be sure. Hey, have certainty. Be sure. Be confident of this. Be sure. Your sin will find you out. Galatians 6:7, be not deceived. Don't be lied to. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I will reap what I sow, and so will you. I will reap the consequence of sin, and so will you. So we ought to be very careful about the lies that so convince us and so persuade us that sin's acceptable, because it's not. It's not worth it. I'd like to draw your attention to this last lie. We'll spend a couple moments here and then we'll be finished. But the first lie is, I need it. And it's that lie that what you have isn't good enough. What God has allowed in your life isn't what it really could be. Second lie is, I'll hide it. You can cover it up. And the third lie is, it's worth it, that the price really isn't that bad. It's not that much. It's okay. But they're all lies. And if you find yourself maybe believing one of these lies, or maybe all three of them, maybe even when you come to this passage, you see how it ends. And you might say, wow, I've believed these lies. And maybe now you might throw up your hands in the air and say, I'm hopeless. But I want to encourage you. That fourth lie is just that I'm hopeless. That's just a lie. The scripture doesn't leave us there. The scripture doesn't leave us without hope. The scripture actually gives us hope. You might say, where's hope in this passage? Where's hope in a passage where a man chose sin over God's will, and then he paid for it, and then his family paid for it, and now he's dead? Where's hope there? Well, I said we're going to come back to that phrase, or that particular place, the Valley of Achor. Now, the scripture particularly mentions that place, the Valley of Achor. Now, I think if you were a Jewish man and as you were instructed to raise your children a particular way and knowing the things of the Lord, I think if you were a Jewish father and maybe you were with your son, you were walking through this place called the Valley of Achor, maybe you saw this great heap of stones. I think if you were a good Jewish father, you'd use this as a teaching moment and you'd say, son, you see that great heap of stones? Well, you see, that's where this man named Achan thought that his sins wouldn't find him out, and that's where this man named Achan thought that his will was more important than God's will, and maybe a teaching tool. See that great heap of stones? It represents failure, judgment, defeat. But we're going to look at a couple, or one particular passage, and I'll make reference to another, where God uses this Valley of Achor as a picture of hope. Turn with me to Hosea chapter 2. Now, Hosea, it's right before you get to the New Testament. It's in the Minor Prophets, Hosea chapter 2. This Valley of Achor, I think, in the Jewish mind, would have been a picture of hopelessness, a picture of failure and judgment, where Israel had the promise of God for victory and then messed up and then lost at Ai and then were defeated because of sin. But look what God has to say in Hosea chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. Hosea chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. Now we'll go ahead and read it. And then we'll make a couple points and we'll be finished in just a couple minutes. Hosea chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. God says, "And I will give her her vineyards from thence and the valley of Achor for a door of hope. And she shall sing there as in the days of her youth and as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt." You see, God uses this place called the Valley of Achor and says, even in this place of failure, even in this place called the Valley of Achor, I give you there a door of hope. It's important for us to know that even in our greatest failures, when we just flat out blew it, when we believe these lines or these lies, hook, line, and sinker, absolutely all of it, we just took it in that I need it and I can hide it, I'll get away with it, and hey, it's actually worth it, and then we just realize real quick that all of those were flat out lies, it's easy for us to throw our hands up and say, well, man, if anyone's hopeless, it's me. But in this place of failure, God says there's a door of hope. It's important for us to know that in every place of failure that we find ourselves in, if I can put it this way, in every valley of Achor that we find ourselves in, God provides a door of hope. He provides hope for us. But God's solution to sin in our life has always had the same answer. Turn to Hosea chapter 14. Okay, well, God's solution to Israel is, in this passage, I know it's talking to Israel. We're going to bring a New Testament verse in that's going to parallel an Old Testament passage as well. So God's talking to Israel, and he's telling them, hey, in this place called the Valley of Achor, I give you there a door of hope. Okay, God's going to give them hope, but what is Israel's hope? Hosea chapter 14, verse 1. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. You know, God's solution has always been when we find ourselves in the throes of sin, when we find ourselves defeated and hopeless, to turn to the Lord, to return to the Lord, to turn back to him, to not stay in our condition, to not stay in our position of sin. Hey, if you're on the fence this morning, you're just wondering, hey, is it ever right? Is it ever God's will for me to remain in sin? I can just tell you flat out, it's not. It's never God's will. Never. Like, at this absolute statement out the wazoo, it is never God's will for you to remain in sin. It's never God's will for you to keep allowing sin into your life. Rather, it's God's desire that you turn to him, that you return to him, that you repent, that you change your mind, that you change what you thought about those sins. In fact, you realize that, no, God's way is better. I don't need it. You return to him. Proverbs 28:13 says, "He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth them, or confesseth and forsaketh them, shall have mercy." Well, I want mercy. Okay, I want to be in the crowd that gets mercy. How do I do that? Well, I don't cover my sin. I confess them and I forsake them. I cut them off. I turn away from them. I don't keep them in my back pocket. I turn away. New Testament, 1 John 1:9. I have a choice in this. I can remain in sin or if we confess our sins, he, who, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. Well, we need mercy. We also need cleansing, right? When we find ourselves in sin, we need cleansing from God. How do we get cleansing? By the blood of Jesus, 1 John. Right there, chapter 1, verse 9, we can be cleansed. He can cleanse us what? From all unrighteousness. How do I get that? By remaining in sin? No. But by turning to him, by returning to the Lord. Whenever I find myself in sin, whenever I find myself obeying sin, not the Lord, I can know what God's will is, and it's for me to turn to the Lord, to stop living in sin, to confess my sin, and to forsake it. To rely on God's grace to enable me to do right. But I turn from my sin. I don't allow it anymore in my life, anymore in my house, anymore in my minds, anymore on my phone, anymore on wherever it may be. I get rid of it. I get out of it. I push it away. I forsake it. I turn away from it. That's always God's will. And that's, mark that down. That is God's solution when I find myself in sin. Well, it's not to remain there. It's not to abide in sin. And I know that when I turn to the Lord and I confess and forsake my sin, I find mercy, I find forgiveness, I find cleansing. All the things that I certainly need. So do you. Hey, so let's not believe the lies. Let's realize they are what they are, and they're lies. That when I think sin would be a better choice than obedience to God, and I believe that lie that says I need it. Well, it's just that. It's a lie. that will only bring about my destruction. And when I think so clearly that I'm good enough, I can hide it, let's realize that is what it is. It's a lie. I can't hide it. I can't hide it. Neither can you. I can't hide sin in my life, in my heart. Neither can you. And we're fools if we think otherwise. And that's true of me. If I think otherwise, I'm a fool. It's the truth for all of us. When we think we can hide sin in our life and God's going to be okay with it and we can expect God's blessing on our life, we can expect God's smile upon our life, well, we're being foolish. And that's true of me and it's true of you. And that third one, it's worth it. It's not worth it. Sin always has a bigger price tag than we want to pay. Always promises us the world, but it costs far, far much more. And lastly, you're not hopeless. You can always return to the Lord and there find mercy, grace, and cleansing and forgiveness. So let's be a group of God's people who don't believe these lies, but are very well and familiarized with turning to the Lord and returning to Him and being cleansed by Him and being cleaned by Him and having that forgiveness and having that mercy. Because if we have a choice in the matter, to not remain in sin, but to turn to the Lord, where I can have those things, mercy, cleansing, grace, forgiveness. So don't believe the lies this afternoon. And when days come, and probably later this night, and tomorrow come, and different things will be tempted, or you'll be tempted by, realize they're just what they are, they're lies. To get you farther away from the Lord, outside of His perfect will, outside of the blessing and the joy that you can have in a relationship with Him. We're going to pray in just a second. Then we're just going to have a short invitation. I know we just had a really good set of food. Set of food? That's not how you say that here. I don't think that's how you say that anywhere. I had a good plate of food. And I think probably all of us did. But let's take a moment during our invitation time to really examine our hearts and say, Lord, what lies have I been believing about some sin in my life? What lies have I just so sold on, been so bought on that there's absolutely true. I think we need to do some heart searching because it just doesn't make sense for me to continue in sin knowing that God's will is far better and that at any point I can be forgiven. I can have cleansing. It's not like God's like, well, give me some time. I'm angry with you. No. We turn to the Lord and there we find mercy and forgiveness and cleansing. So let's do that this morning. Father, we thank You so much for this day. We thank You for Your word and the truths found in it. I pray, Father, that we would be doers of the word and not hearers only. Help us, Father, during this time of invitation, the next couple moments, that You would confront our hearts with truth. And Father, You would speak to us and convict us of sin and help us realize, Father, that we're not hopeless. And we can have cleansing from You. We love You. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. The piano is going to begin to play in just a second.